I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to our 11th episode. In our last episode, Chris made me and our friend Alana play some really demented trivia game. But in this episode, we watched the original trilogy of Fox's X-Men movies, X1 through 3. It was a recommendation from one of our longtime listeners, Eddie.
The original X-Men trilogy, directed by two highly questionable people, Bryan Singer and Brett Ratner, is based on Marvel's X-Men comic books by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. Comprised of X-Men, X-Men United, and X-Men The Last Stand, they tell the story of the X-Men, a team of mutants led by Professor Charles Xavier, and their quest to save the world. So,
okay,
do you like these movies?
These movies still
do. Like these movies?
I have to say, they're still some of my favorite movies, but these are not good movies. They're great in their own way, you know.
You sound like me trying to defend the Fantastic Four movies with my life. Like, the same way that everybody gets on my back for loving Fantastic Four 1 and 2, that's how everybody needs to be on your back for liking these.
Absolutely. These are not good, but I love them.
I also like these movies. They're really good. They're not good. They're really horrible, but I like things that are bad.
It's like the same way that you watch Twilight, because you know you're not watching for quality right there. But those are great movies.
Bella, Loca.
Loca.
Where have you been, Loca?
But unlike Twilight, every single actor in this movie killed it.
Absolutely. Every actor in these movies is a great actor. And that's what's so offensive about them being so bad, because the ensemble cast is stacked. Like Anna Paquin, who I love. A lot of people don't see it for Anna Paquin like I do, but I see it for her as Rogue. She ate.
It Sir got better after that accent in the first one, that really, really bad Southern accent. But, listen, you know, the first movie was not the movie for accents.
You know what?
We know.
I don't know if that's just how she talks, because she sounded like that on True Blood, but I've never heard her real voice. So if that's how she really talks, that would mean that in the second movie, highly questionable director Bryan Singer was like, Anna, you got to calm it down. Also, I think it's funny that Rogue is Anna Marie and her name is Anna Paquin. So I bet you she was like, I got this. I'm ready.
Man, I'm going to have to look up like an interview with her after this. Because what if she is just talking in that really bad Southern accent? That's like actually her voice. And we're sitting here like, it's terrible.
Listen, okay. Sir Ian McKellen as Magneto. He ate. There is nobody who could have ate this role up like him. Yes. Mm-hmm. Freaking Kelsey Grammer's in these movies. I just found that out. Kelsey Grammer's in the movies as Beast. I didn't think anybody, like, I hate Beast. Beast is my least favorite of all X-Men. I talk about how much I hate, I hate Beast. Beast Me is too. One of those people, he is like Black Republicans, you know, where you be like, not, I don't think, in, what's the word? In the grand scheme of things, if the party was like how it's supposed to be or whatever, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a Republican in theory, but like in practice, Black Republicans are some of the worst people ever. That is Beast.
You know what? He was like, you know how there's the twinks for Trumps? He's like a beast for Trump.
Yes. Beast is gays for Trump, but not movie Beast. But in the comics, Hank with his old Jaguar face, blue looking ass, that is him. But he ate.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He was hashtag Beast for Bush. Ooh. Oh, there it is.
You ate that. Okay, Sir Patrick Stewart as Professor X. I love Sir Patrick Stewart so much. I hate two of his most iconic roles because I hate Captain Picard and I hate Professor X. But he manages, I love him so much. I get a crumb of just affection for Charles. I actually cried when Charles died in Logan. Hugh Jackman, even though he is not a short king, him as Wolverine, ate.
Yeah. He was not one I would have ever thought, but he is Wolverine at this
point. And James Marsden, I want to say James Marsden, the king that he is, he holds these whole BS movies together, because this whole Cyclops thing should not be cool. It should not be interesting. It should not be handsome. It should not be believable. The whole thing should be stupid. But he ate, because he was the perfect straight man for this.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people for Cyclops either, because fuck Cyclops.
I like Stan Summers. I just think he's raggedy, and I just move on.
I think all X-Men are raggedy, and I just move on.
I would like to say that I see him for Bobby Drake, because he's my favorite X-Men, but I don't. He's raggedy, too.
He's raggedy, too. They're all raggedy. But that's why we love X-Men.
Yes, and who else in the cast?
MK Janssen.
Yeah, Miss Miss Jean Grey herself. I didn't mean to clap, but it was in my spirit. Oh my God. She ate, especially in X2 with that bob, when that bob was swinging and the water was going. Whew, she ate.
And then we got Halle Berry too.
She would not have been my choice to play Storm.
Even to this day, she's not my choice to play Storm.
I mean, Halle Berry did good for what she was given. I feel like Storm's powers in the movie and her role in the X-Men, I feel like it was minimized, and I feel like they did not do a good job. It was not a good enough ensemble. Everything was not shared equally among the X-Men. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you want to look at an ensemble cast, you need to look at something like The Magician, where everybody gets to, we all get to play our roles. I feel like it was the Wolverine show and the Jean Grey show a little bit in the X-Men trilogy.
Absolutely.
So feel like Halle also did not get enough to showcase her talent and her great beauty, because whoever did those wigs deserves to be drawn and quartered.
Yeah, Halle Berry is one of my favorite actresses ever, but that just wasn't it for me. Who else was in the cast? Rebecca Romijn. Is that how you say her name? Romaine? Bitch. That woman is so beautiful. If anyone can walk around naked with scales on her, it's going to be her.
First of all, she was fighting with her whole coochie out. Coochie to the wind, kicking in the face. She used her leg to open a door with the key. She is it. I know. And now, are we ready to talk about X1?
No. I'd rather talk about Rebecca Romijn some more, if we're honest.
We can talk about her more later, because we got to see her in a bunch of different ways. She ate the whole time. So X1, okay. The premise of X1 is that a young girl in Louisiana.
The premise of X1 is, if we were to take some of the best comic book characters, air quotes around best, and made one of the worst movies ever.
Sir, let's not say the X-Men best in air quotes, because the X-Men, they one thing they gonna do, they always gonna eat down. They understand the assignment. The Avengers, they be pussying around. The X-Men, they ain't for the rah-rah. They gonna run in, they gonna get what needs to be done, and it's gonna get done. So we're not ever gonna throw dirt on them, okay?
Yes, we are. That's what this whole episode is gonna be.
Listen, in the comic books, don't throw that quote-unquote best. They're the best. In the movies, some more things could have been done.
In the movie, this was... Okay, I still stand by, this is one of my favorite X-Men movies, but this movie's terrible.
Yeah. They're all bad, but they're really enjoyable to watch. Don't get me wrong. The first movie, Magneto is the thing about these movies that makes them bad is that they try and convince you that Magneto is irredeemably bad, and he just has these horrible, outlandish ideas. Magneto does not think like this, and these flim flam plots are what makes the movies bad, because it's just shut up. Magneto's plot in this movie, which I don't understand how the X-Men didn't understand that they were he's going after Wolverine. What would he want him for? He's a metal man. Literally. His plot was to make all these people who were on Ellis Island to have some kind of meeting about mutants or something. So all these diplomats or whatever. He was going to turn them all into mutants using this machine. But the machine didn't work. The machine just, I don't know. Either you're a mutant or you're not. It's a genetic thing. So you can't make somebody a mutant.
That was literally the whole point of this movie. It starts off with Anna Paquin at the beginning, right? That's the very first scene.
Yeah, and she's kissing this little boy, her boyfriend.
And that just happens to be when her mutation kicks in, because her mutation...
The movie starts off with Dr. Jean Grey giving a lecture on mutantism or whatever, mutanity.
Mutations?
Ooh.
Mutanity? Mutanity is my favorite. That's the rest of the podcast now. All these little mutanities.
Yep. And I'll wear it on a t-shirt. Don't think I won't. I stand by what I said.
I like it. Anyway, so it starts off with Miss Jean Grey.
Miss Doctor.
Dr. Jean Grey.
Miss Dr. Jean Grey giving a lecture. So Dr. Grey is giving a lecture about mutations. And she, this bitch ass Senator Kelly, who's been a bitch consistently throughout every X-Men property, he's like, bitch, 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 bitch. And that's pretty much the end of it. And so Dr. Grey is dejected. And then you see Dr. Xavier up on the...
Senator Kelly was sitting there talking to her, and he just keeps interrupting her very... very white man like, you know
I was
what I
mean? Feeling very Kamala Harris. Mr. Senator, very. I'm speaking.
And then he just kept interrupting her. Then he stood up and started talking in front of her in her own little presentation. Like, sir,
this is my presentation on mutanity.
This is my mutanity presentation. Go fuck yourself.
You did not go to school. You're not a doctor. This is like these people who are telling you to treat yourself for COVID with horse dewormer. Don't do that shit. So she, you know, and then you see Professor X and Magneto. They're on the balcony and Magneto leaves. He's like, And he is styling. One thing I will say about these movies, every time they show Magneto, he ate with the outfit.
He had a hat on, like,
and he put that hat on so smooth and walked out. And that's how you could tell that Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart, like, they're older gentlemen now, but you could tell they used to be young and sexy.
Yeah, the way they walk and act sideways, you know, like stylish. And this was the year 2000, by the way. Like, this came out in the year 2000. He was doing that, and he had like a long coat on, and he walked out. Smooth. He made a good line and then he walked out. I don't remember what it was now.
He said, "Don't try and stop me, Charles." He was so like cavalier. Magneto 8. These movies, that's the subtitle, Magneto 8. Because it's hard for me to, maybe because I'm black, but as a minority myself, as minorities ourselves, it's hard for me to understand, like, how do you guys not understand that Magneto is right? Because Magneto says all this stuff and they're like, they act like people's fear of Magneto is what makes them do the things they do to oppose mutants. But it's not. It's like stuff that, like, this stuff would not be so easily made if somebody wasn't already making it. It's not like they just rolled out these anti-mutant weapons like the Sentinels, the Cure pellets or whatever. They didn't just start making this. It's not like they just put this stuff into production and it got made the next week. They had it ready.
Yeah, they had it ready. And Magneto was a part of the fucking Holocaust. So if one man knows a war, it's gonna be
if he's telling you that, he's like, look, all these people who you think are your friends, they are going to turn on you. If these people who are these people who look away, like, you sit and you want to talk about committees and you want to talk about this and this and this, while you're talking about this, they're thinking about exterminating your ass. And Magneto is never wrong about that. The actual plot of this movie, though, is like, so he kidnaps one guy. It's Senator Kelly. And he gives him this quote-unquote cure. And Senator Kelly starts turning into some kind of mutant fish, water, disgusting thing. He starts turning into Jell-O. And it's obvious at this point that this mutant thing is not working. And I was like, Magneto, it's not working.
And the point, like, it literally kills him if he continues to, because Magneto gets in the machine and Magneto is like, okay, like, I use my powers.
This took a year off my life. I ain't doing this no more.
Yeah, so it kills him. So that's why he's like, okay, this machine doesn't work and it kills me, but he still goes on with it. And it's like,
it's like you expect us to, like, Magneto has done a lot of foolishness, right? But it's not foolishness without cause. It's not baseless foolishness. It's foolish, but it's stuff I wouldn't do. I have morals. Well,
but I can understand why he did it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not ever something that you're like, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. And that's these movies expect us to believe that Magneto has no sense. And so
So at this point, we kind of know who Rogue is at this point, because at the beginning she kisses her boyfriend and she gets her mutation power, which
he starts having power, a seizure, and she's screaming. Losing it. And when I tell you, I was sitting up laughing because I was like, what is going on? I didn't remember it being that horrible.
Yeah, because her power is like, if she touches another mutant, she's going to take their powers, but it does kill a mutant. But if she touches a human, I guess she just takes their memories and stuff. Because I don't know if they explain that in the movies. Yeah, but that's what happens in the comics. And she actually
has, I know her and Captain Marvel have beef because she touched Carol.
She killed Captain Marvel.
Did she kill her?
She killed her and took her powers. That's why she can fly all the time.
Ooh.
I mean, I guess she didn't take like the Kree laser bolt powers, but yeah, she kills her at one point.
Sorry, Carol.
Yeah, Carol's like, you can't touch me, and she's like, I just need to touch you.
I'm gonna do it though.
She did it though, and she kills her. You know, yeah, that's the whole thing.
So eventually, Senator Kelly, after walking, he escapes by being a blobfish thing. He
literally gloops through the little jail cell,
looking disgusting, and he
disgusting. What kind of special effects was this in 2000
that they made like this mucus. Little monster? It was so nasty. And I was sitting up, and this is in a movie with Toad. Toad is in this movie. Toad is my least favorite mutant ever. I think Toad is disgusting.
I think Blob is the worst.
Blob is just big and gelatinous. Like, Toad, like, out of all the animal themed mutants or all the ones with animal traits, he's the nastiest.
I think he'd be licking people. He'd be licking people. Another one.
And an MF wraps his tongue around your arm.
No, I got to cut it off.
Yeah. Yep. You see how that became the most disgusting? Anyway, yeah. So Senator Kelly makes his way to the X-Men. He tells him Magneto's plan. And the plan is stupid. But here's the thing that pissed me off. Tell me why, like, he's like, I finally get it or whatever. He's, you know, having his little hee-hee-ha-has as he's dying. And Storm is like, he, like, grabs on the Storm while he dies and, like, hits her with the last bit of old man strength. And then, like, friggin' bloop. Just dies, and then she has to run out and be like, the senator, he's dead. I was like, girl, that was traumatic. Don't hold on to me while you die.
He said, I want you to stay with me, and she's like, I don't know. No. If I want you. But then he dies half a second later, so it's like, well, you didn't get much of a choice, did you, Aurora?
Literally, it was like, oop, and he was stuck fast onto that hand, shaking, don't hold my hand while you die. I don't do that to me.
And you don't even like me just because I'm prettier than, like, other mutants. You know, you still don't like me for who I am. The fuck?
Exactly.
Who do you think I am touching me like that?
Exactly.
I am a goddess, first of all. Period. Storm is a goddess. Don't even, literally, like, she is.
In this movie, right, in this whole thing takes place at the end in the Statue of Liberty. And this is where, because...
Well, hold up. The whole plan is that he wants to kidnap Rogue, not Wolverine. And they were like, whoa, why would... That makes sense, because he wants to Rogue to steal his powers and put this tiny little girl in the machine so she dies out his plan.
In his defense, it kind of made sense to me, because he was like, well, she got a lot more time left. Shit, I'm 80.
I mean, it made sense, but...
The whole plan was to put to aim the Statue of Liberty machine at these diplomats and turn them all into mutants, but that doesn't make sense, because you need the X gene.
And the diplomats weren't even on Ellis Island. They were, like, in Manhattan somewhere. So he wants to go that fucking far, like, with his little machine, because it makes this huge aura around
it. They weren't on Ellis Island? I thought they made that whole big deal about being on Ellis Island. That's stupid.
No, because remember, they were across the water, and the little bowl thingy was trying to go across the water. That's the only reason they didn't get killed or turned into glob monsters / mutants.
That's stupid. Yeah, you're right.
They were somewhere in, like, Manhattan.
He was like Wolverine, I've heard about you. He been waiting on Wolverine since, like, the middle of the movie, because Logan, you are a metal man. This metal man, really, like, you hear that a man is called Magneto and he can control metal and magnetic fields, and you, a metal man, decide the best.
Yeah, see, that's another thing that made it the Wolverine movie. Like, what, Wolverine has no business ever stepping up to Magneto.
But he consistently does. He controls metal.
Man, and this, okay.
But listen, every X-Men property, he tries it with Magneto. And Magneto, okay, no, the best fight was literally Mystique versus everybody. Because Mystique had them, she was playing Among Us 20 years ahead of her time. Because she was like, oh, I'm here. I'm Scott. I'm Jean. I'm Wolverine. Aha, it's Wolverine versus Wolverine. Ding dong.
And my thing is, Wolverine has, like, a super smelling nose. Like, that's part of his powers, I guess. And but he doesn't smell her till later. Like, y'all didn't smell her at the beginning, though. You were getting tripped up at the beginning.
Well, I think the fact was they didn't trust each other or whatever. But I'm like, two of you know, y'all are literally in a relationship. Like, you've known each other 4 years. Like, Wolverine, like, y'all don't know nothing about this man. Y'all could ask him, hey, you know, what? True,
yeah, because... Wolverine just shows up to the school, like, in the middle of the school year with Anna Paquin / Rogue / Anne Marie. Just shows up and he's like, hey, I got a mutant for you. And it's, you know, it's a thing. And then this is the first time to meet Wolverine ever.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. But, like, why would you take somebody? Like, they knew from Jump Street that he was a metal man. Oh, well, I guess he said, we're going to go get Rogue and I'm coming, period. He didn't give them a choice. But I would have been like, you can't go. You're a metal man.
You have Storm, who literally controls the weather. She's the weather witch. She's a weather goddess.
Storm also was not a good person to bring. Because Storm started to use her powers, and then Magneto was like, we are in a giant copper conductor.
That's a terrible idea. But she did electrocute Toad, because remember what she says?
She said, what did she say? Do you know what happens to a Toad when it gets struck by lightning? And he was like, and the same as everything else.
An electrocute? What the fuck was that? Whoever wrote this movie, that was one of my favorite lines ever.
It's not good, but it's one of my favorites, because I was like, the funny thing about it is, as a kid, I remember being so confused, like, well, what happens when a toad gets a lighter? Because she gives it enough of a pause. So you get to sit up and think for like one, two, well, what is going to happen?
the same thing as everything else. And you're like, oh, okay.
And then she
tried so hard to say it menacingly, but y'all, Halle Berry does not do an African accent well, which they take away from her in the second movie because she had no
business. But it's like she does it. Yes, she knows she does it a little bit in the other movies, but it's like half and half. It's like she does it sometimes. Sitting up there,
they were like, okay, you didn't do great in the first one, so take it down a little bit. And she's like, oh, I'm gonna kill it again. Y'all ready for this? And then like halfway through the movie, they're like, okay, Halle, can you stop? Like, it's not working.
But you know what though? Halle Berry served. I'm not gonna let anybody take this away from her because she did that. So last thoughts on X1. Oh, also Magneto goes to prison at the end of this movie. This movie, like, many things happen, but nothing happens. Magneto goes to prison and it's a plastic prison, and like low-key, I was vibing with the whole plastic prison. I was like, this is cool. The fact that they went to this level of trouble, and he's like, they can't keep me in this prison, Charles. The way that Sir Ian McKellen talks in this movie is so nice. All the movies, it's so nonchalant. Like, he truly don't give a fuck.
Okay, yeah, and Wolverine actually destroys this machine somehow, which doesn't make sense either, because, you know, Magneto's standing right there telling him not to do it with his powers, but whatever.
Literally, he doesn't have any powers, because he gave his powers to Rogue, so he's weak, and he's an old man.
I still don't believe it. It's still not believable.
It doesn't make sense, though, because, like, Magneto, his powers have, like, a limitless potential for growth. Every time Magneto hits a milestone, he surpasses it. Magneto stopped the world from turning. These movies,
he's an Omega level mutant. You can't stop his power, but whatever.
You can't keep a bad bitch down. And the only way these movies work, I think, is by severely depowering all the X-Men.
Oh, for sure. Because Jean Grey would have, like, totaled that entire thing and moved on in 5 minutes. Storm would have done the same thing, but...
And Storm has other powers. Like, it's not just lightning. Like, she can control water and, like, everything to do with the weather.
Yeah, wind. And she can also... hand-to-hand fighter. She's the best at the best is the best.
And Cyclops co-lead the X-Men.
Yeah, to get whooped by Toad. Unbelievable. Toad! But anyways, so whenever I gotta keep calling her Rogue. Whenever Rogue was in the machine, it like turns her hair white, which is how she gets the little strip, which is important only because it's a nice look.
It is a look. Like, that's this is the reason why Rogue's look is iconic. The one thing that these movies do that I really hate, I think whoever did the hair and the hair on these movies should be jailed. Specifically, just Halle Berry's hair and Anna Paquin's, because Rogue is like the queen of curly hair. So, like, to see her with straight hair, I was like, disappointing. And whoever did Halle's wig, jail. Hard labor. I want you in a gulag, in a prison camp, 4 years. You deserve it. Don't ever let me see you in the streets.
If you want to see her X-Men 1 wig, you can go to the Twitter where I've already tweeted a picture of it, because it was just very 2000s. A white person definitely did this wig. Had no business touching Halle Berry's hair.
Okay. At all. And now we are moving on to X2. So.
Okay. But, okay. So X2, I don't even know what the whole plot of this movie was. It was stupid also.
X2, also known as X-Men The Last Stand. I really like when movies...
No, that's X3.
No, it's X-Men United. I'm sorry.
Either way, this movie, I did not like this one either, but it was better than the first one. So this movie starts off and it's like, I don't even remember because I don't really care. How does this even... I don't... The president's happening and whatever, and then Nightcrawler shows up, but you don't know he's Nightcrawler yet.
It's Nightcrawler just a little teleporting attacks main. The president.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then he gets shot in the arm, and then he teleports away, and then you're like, whoa.
But he's like been brainwashed. And then you find out that he got brainwashed because this guy named William Stryker wants to kind of goad the president into being like, oh, we are at war with these mutants. They are dangerous. They are animalistic or whatever. So
Nightcrawler had a knife that said, long live mutants or something like that on it, but when he got shot he dropped the knife and teleported away, so all you see is that knife sticking there that said,
do you know what that reminding me of?
Do you remember
when those white people a couple years ago, when they like they were like, oh, our car and our driveway got defaced by radical BLM protesters, and they were, and it's like horrible spray paint, and it's like BLM die cracker, all this other stuff, and I was like, what?
And it was like how they didn't actually spell it, but it was like if you looked at it, they would have typed in black people rules, but like R-O-O-L-Z. That's how they would have done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what that knife was giving me, because I was like, sir.
I don't know. But anyways, it moves on, and then some more shit happens, and Charles is like, okay, we got to find this mutant because he tried to kill the president. And it's like, oh no, because he has Cerebro now.
And what I really love is that Logan is out doing his own thing. Logan is the first person who ends up at Alkali Lake, or alcoholic. I don't remember how you pronounce it.
Alkali. At the beginning of the movie, the Xavier school is in like a museum type thing. And this is when you see Pyro getting a little bit evil because he sets this guy on fire because this guy's kind of literally kind of bullying him a little bit. He's like, give me a light. And Pyro's like, no. And then so he takes the lighter from Pyro and then Pyro sets him on fire because that's his whole power.
Oh, and this is where they set the precedent with Pyro for like anglicizing. I don't know how you pronounce that. I can't think of it right now. But where they just basically whitewash everybody's name, like with the Maximovs, where they're like, oh, Peter instead of Pietro, or with Colossus, his name is Peter Rasputin. Pyro, his name is St. John. I don't know how you pronounce that in
St. John.
You pronounce it as St. John? Mm-hmm. It's spelled St. John, though, like S-T period John. And yeah, they're like yeah, John. He's just John.
Yeah, and it's pronounced St. John. That's how you say his name.
St. John. I've never had to say that out loud because I hate Pyro so much.
And it's spelled Saint John, so I would have never thought about it, but that's apparently how it's actually supposed to be said. So
I'm not Catholic, welcome. How would I know? So
but
I
mean
I just assumed if you name that you're probably Catholic. Okay, Logan eventually comes back to the school and Professor X starts tracking, you know, Nightcrawler using Cerebro, and
Cerebro's a machine that can track mutants. That's important.
It doesn't just track them, it can connect with them. Like it's honestly like a beautiful tool that's misused throughout all of these movies so much. Man, I think it's so cool.
Nothing beautiful about that. Don't you sit up in your little castle school trying to connect with my mind. I don't know you. Don't come in my mind like that.
You bald-headed old pervert. You better stay out of my mind.
Stay in your school and out of my mind, bitch. The fuck? Who are you? You know, you have to have a God complex to think that you're okay to be doing things like that. Like, who are you to sit there and, like, look at everybody on the entire earth? The fuck are you? It's so annoying. I hate Charles Xavier.
Charles, anyway. So, they try and track Nightcrawler using Cerebro. And then for some reason, they go to ask Magneto about this attack. And Magneto is like, why the fuck are you asking me? Do you not see me in this plastic ass prison? Magneto is literally like, I don't see how I'm involved in this. He's so confused.
His prison is literally a plastic box in like a big empty room up on a pedestal. Like,
and this then man was the gateway to the plastic prison, it retracts.
Yeah. He's not getting out of there.
How? And I truly don't mean how. Could this possibly have anything to do with me? He's so confused. He's like, Charles, what are you here for? And Scott in your tight ass clothes.
I don't know. But then
all the clothes in these movies are yeast infection-y. Like everybody has on the world's tightest clothes.
Do you think they have to like aerosol spray it when they take it off? Like you have to.
Especially the pleather X-Men suits.
Yes, you're sitting here fighting in that, sweating in that, like, you know that shit does not smell good. There is some bacteria building in those suits. I'm just saying.
Okay,
is somebody's mutant power to clean suits? Is that what happens? Anyways.
Shut up. So they do a raid on the school because the Stryker guy who orchestrated the attack on the president so he could have a reason to raid the school. They raid a school filled with children.
The government does.
Yes. Ooh, and they abduct some of the students.
At this point, this is also one of my favorite lines written in the whole movie. There's an X-Men there's a mutant in this school. It's like a kid and he's blinking at the TV. His name is apparently Jones. I didn't know that, but I looked it up. He's sitting there blinking at the TV, and then Wolverine walks in because it's like 2 a.m. And then Jones says to Wolverine, he's like, can't sleep. And then Wolverine's like, how'd you know? And then Jones says, because you're awake. And I was like, who is writing this? Who is writing these lines right now? It's the stupidest thing. But anyway, so the government has this whole raid on the school and Colossus.
Oh my God, they got like the hottest guy to play Colossus possible. And I was just ranting to people because I was reading all of the Marvel Voices line or whatever. And I got to the Pride one and I was making fun of everybody's first crush. And Prodigy said that his was Colossus. And I was like, this is your king?
But then you watch this movie and you
understand. And I was like, Colossus.
This man is 6'7", running around all muscular and like.
Fine.
It works. I get it.
And Colossus is the one who leads all the students to safety. He's like, come on.
He's like, we have a secret passageway right here and bust a hole in the wall, kind of. And then, like, the wall goes down. I was like, how did you know that was there? What, like, were you just walking around?
First of all, sir, and maybe don't bust a hole in it. Like, we still need to escape.
He punched that shit hard, though. And he, okay, so Colossus couldn't turn into steel, but he wasn't steel at this point. But that just shows how strong he is. And he punches the shit out of
this. But here's the thing. We still need to escape. We don't need them knowing where we went in any capacity. Maybe don't bust it open.
Yeah, but then, you know, Wolverine sees Stryker. It was Stryker, right?
Yeah, and yeah, Stryker is like, hello, Wolverine. And I was like, what? I remember as a kid. Well, now I've seen like every X-Men movie except Dark Phoenix and whatever the last one was.
Yeah, but we all know who William Stryker is at this point. He's the one that creates Wolverine, and he sucks. So then Iceman gets involved in this wall between them, and then Wolverine runs away in the little secret hideout thingy passage, and whatever, they move on.
Okay, and then so throughout this, you know, you can't keep a bad bee down. So Mystique, she's out here like, okay, we're gonna free Magneto, period.
So, and there's a scene where Mystique is breaking into, I think it was Stryker's office also. Yeah, it was Stryker's office. And she breaks in there, and then like she's his secretary when she breaks in there, because you know she can shapeshift. That's her thing. And she breaks in, and then she steals all of it. She's like, oh my god, he's making Cerebro too, which is also stupid, but whatever. And when she's leaving, though, she's about to get caught because this actual real secretary is walking in. And so she turns into the janitor. And when she's leaving, the janitor is right there, and she sees the janitor that she's mimicking, right? And I was like, how does she remember what all these people look like? How good is this woman's memory? Like, that's talent.
I think Mystique is, she has to have a, she's a, has a great memory. She obviously can shapeshift. She's an excellent hand-to-hand fighter. She heals really fast, and she is like the same age as Professor X and Magneto, and has not aged.
Oh yeah, because she can look literally however she wants.
But I mean, that's like, her real face. Memory? The blue face is her real face, so she has not aged,
and she shouldn't ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's impressive. Thinking of, I don't know anybody that I look at, because I try not to look at people like that, but she gets it down to a T that she can turn into them. Bad.
And she remembers the clothes you just had on, like right down to the keyring. She remembers everything. And it's not even just people that Mystique can turn into. She can turn into like anything.
I think that one kind of varies in the comic book. Some of them say that only she can be like birds and stuff, while others are like only humans. But I was like, if you can shapeshift, why can't she be? Yeah, I don't know. It really does vary on who writes it, though.
But I guess.
I digress. Back to the movie.
So, back in the movie. Okay, so a bunch of other stupid stuff happens. They go and visit Bobby's parents. And this is the most meme-worthy part of any X-Men movie. Because, obviously, Bobby is gay now. Which, I mean, I always thought Bobby was gay just because of this scene in this movie. Where they talk to Bobby's parents and they find out. They're like, oh my god, you're a mutant? And he's like, well, yeah.
And what makes it even funnier was that he wasn't canonically gay at this point, and they really still put this in the movie.
Yes, and they were like, have you tried not being a mutant? And he's like, it don't work like that. And then there's also the scene where Wolverine is having a beer. I don't remember if it's in this movie or not. I think so, but it's warm. And then he like hands it to Bobby, and Bobby like blows in the beer. And I was like, what?
I think that was in this movie.
I don't know if it was in that the kitchen scene, but I'm pretty sure it was in this movie. And I was like,
at this point, though, Charles Xavier has been kidnapped, and he's in Riker's little prison.
Stryker.
Jesus Christ. I got to get these people. I know these people, I promise, but I just don't care.
And then
about
you find
them.
Out Stryker's son is Jason Weingart or whatever. He can control minds. And I was pissed off at Professor X because like I was like, damn, Charles, I know you're an old man, but how did you let them get the drop on you like this?
You literally fought like the Night King. How is this little boy gonna do anything to you? Like, sir.
Exactly. I was like, Charles, you have gone blow for blow with some of the most powerful telepathic mutants. Like, I was like, sir, I'm disappointed in you. And you teach students to control their sir. I was pissed.
You put up mental blocks in Jean Grey's mind, which we find out in the next movie. But Jean Grey is the most powerful mutant at this point. What do you mean that this little boy is gonna get something on you?
Exactly. And so like Jason or whatever control, like Stryker uses Jason to force Charles Xavier to use the second Cerebro to kill every mutant on the planet. This was such a stupid plan, because
it was actually a good plan. I kind of respected it. Like,
no,
you so
I didn't
many hoops.
Because do you know what else is a mutation?
A lot of things.
a lot of things. Like, goddamn, red hair is a mutation. That was not specific enough. You could have just...
that's what
like,
you mean.
Yeah, like, mutations are broad. I'm pretty sure being white is a mutation. Because, you know, they said, like, that all life originated in Africa or whatever, and then white people are, like, descended from people with albinism or whatever, and they moved to other climates and evolved or something. I don't remember how the thing I read like 10 years ago went. I was just like, oh, okay, and then I moved on.
That's very Hitler. He's like, we're only gonna have the blonde hair, blue eyes left at the end of this.
Like, the plot was so stupid. And then with this plot, like, obviously they have all these captured students, like Magneto and Mystique link up with them as well, and they're in it. But the thing is, okay, so we get to the point where we're at the end of the plot, because the plot doesn't really matter. It's very stupid. Nothing of consequence happens in this movie.
Well, okay, so Wolverine and Magneto, Mystique, Pyro, Bobby Drake, and Storm and Jean and Cyclops are all going to go save Professor X at Alkali Lake, which kind of, it works. It goes a little bit south at some points, but it works. They end up trying to save him. But Magneto gets to Xavier first, and he's like, okay, we're going to switch up the plan a little
bit.
Kill all
the humans.
Yes. I was like, all right, good plan. I see where you're coming from, but then I also would have died. So, you know, it's okay. You know what also is important at this point? They point out that Pyro can't do, like, he can't make his own fire. All he can do is, like, control fire, which is why he has to carry a lighter around. And I was like, damn, you can't do nothing, right? Can you?
Oh, my God. So, Sinjin has to, like, I thought he was making his own. Like, he does it in the next movie where he just generates fire. That's stupid. That's like in that goddamn Last Airbender movie where they couldn't pull the water out the air or whatever, and she had to carry around that flask of water. Like, that was stupid. But
that's what Pyro does in the next movies. He has like little flamethrowers on his arm, which is how he has in the comics. It makes sense.
That's stupid. I hate that.
It's ghetto. So what happens is, like, after that, he leaves Xavier in there to die, because at this point, Alkali Lake is under, I mean, the whole facility is under the Alkali Lake. So, like, water starts crashing and, you know, things are exploding, you know, it's all falling apart. It's crumbling, it's collapsing, whatever. So he leaves Charles, his best friend, in there to die while Charles kills all humans. Doesn't make sense. But they move on. And then Storm and Nightcrawler teleport in there and they save him. But then they leave Jason to die. And I was like, bro, these mutants do not give a fuck who dies in this at all.
And then Jason, like, it was not his choice to do this. Like, if you look at him, obviously this is somebody who has been, like, horrifically abused throughout their entire, like, he's sitting there and he, like, looks like a patchwork man. I don't know how to explain this to somebody who's never seen it, but obviously he's been horrifically abused. He did not, and he, the next thing he says is, oh my God, he's gonna be so mad or something like that. Like, it is horrifying. This is a person who needs to be rescued as well. But they rescue all the students. And here's what really pissed me off, because Wolverine is the first one out or whatever. And he sees Stryker about to, like, he's readying his helicopter. He's like, nope, because if we die, you're going to die with us. And he, like, chains him to the bottom of the helicopter. Who comes out next? It's It's Magneto and Mystique. And they move Stryker off the helicopter or whatever. But they... even though they know there are children there who are vulnerable and who need help and protecting, like, their whole thing is about making the world safe for mutants, and they won't even protect the next generation. Like, they just leave. They take the helicopter and leave.
Well, like, they to take the point. Pyro.
Yeah.
Could have left his ass, but that's the one they take.
Bitch ass. Like, and you know there are children there. Like,
and your best friend, you just left him to die, and your best friend's students and, like, kids, you know, like, not all
like the other
either.
X-Men, like, these people are not your enemies. Like, at the end of the day, y'all stand together, period.
See, that was something they did extremely wrong in this movie. It made no sense.
Like, they make it seem like philosophically Magneto is wrong. He's not wrong at any point. It's like his methodology in the movies is bad and it's cartoonish and crazy. But, like, the fact that Magneto and... I could believe that Mystique would leave a child to die because she's done it. But, like...
she's done it to her own kid.
I was just gonna leave her alone.
But,
like, I could believe that. But, like, y'all take the only means of escape, and there are, like, literally there are kids in, like, their pajamas because they got kidnapped out of school, like, with no shoes on, like, and they're trying to run through the snow to safety, and they come out, and Wolverine is like, oh my God, the helicopter was just right here, and then here comes freaking Anna Marie crashing.
No business flying this X-Jet. She flies over the trees, and this jet's flying crooked. She only had to go, like, maybe 20 feet, but this bitch... just fucking it up. She's flying all crooked. She lands, crashes, you know. So and they get on the ship and whatever.
The Blackbird. I mean, we could have called it by its name.
I like X-Jet better. But so they try to fly away. It's fucked up because she just fucking crashed it. She had no business trying to drive this plane.
And then so Storm and Cyclops, the only logical people, they're like, they're trying to fix it. They do a smart stuff. They're like, okay, we got power to the cells, but they're not connected. Oh my God. So we got to figure out how to, like, meanwhile, the dam is cracking. So, wait, no, before this, Wolverine is holding a little boy that he grabbed out of the snow and with no shoes on. And Stryker is sitting up chained to a friggin' gate. And he's like, Wolverine, you know, if you kill me or whatever, you'll never know what happened in your past. Like, you're a survivor, all this, that, and the third. And he's like, I'll take my chances.
The whole time he's carrying this kid. This kid just witnessed this conversation of this man horribly chained up because Magneto used his powers to, like, tighten the chains. This man,
he's strung up like Jesus, not all the way, but like in the same prostrate position. I was like,
meanwhile, there's this 12-year-old in Wolverine's arms just watching all this happen.
And I'm thinking, like, this would be a horrible way to die. So
Sinjin, they all figure out Sinjin's gone, and then like the dam breaks,
or they just call him John. Like, and I was like, but his name is not that.
Yeah, but then the jam explodes behind him, and Jean's like, I know what to do.
But Jean says nothing. She like literally walks out, and they don't even notice her slip out until the professor is like, Jean, because his old ass just gets an epiphany at that moment. And then Scott is like, what is she doing? No. So Scott, he's like, lower the gate. And then Storm is like, we can't. And he's literally going crazy. And then
Jean's more powered though, because Jean is stopping Nightcrawler from teleporting to get her. And she's raising the ship and fixing the ship and holding back a dam full of water. Like, this bitch is doing it all right now.
And this is
all
where was this power, Jean? So we were like, hold on, where is this power? And then all of a sudden this bitch releases the Phoenix Force. Like, it's like, psh. And then she's gone. And then Wolverine is like, she's gone. He's like, no. This is Cyclops. So he's like, no. He literally has a full-on breakdown in Logan's arms. And I was like, okay, you want to kiss so bad, don't you?
Oh my God. Okay. So also Jean takes over Xavier's mind and she's talking through Xavier and she's like,
and he literally like leans into Professor X. I was like, he's talking to him like he's talking to Jean. And I was like, get out of this elderly man's face.
He got so close. I thought they were about to kiss. Like, you can't kiss him goodbye for Jean. Like, it doesn't work that way, Scott.
You better not put your lips on his bald head. You better not.
It was a lot. That scene was a lot.
I was sitting up so confused. And then everybody else is just in the scene. But here's the thing that pissed me off.
Yeah, everybody else is just standing around.
Because Storm could have helped. Because where was this bitch? She could have lifted up the jet. You know, there were parts of this where Storm could have did this. Like, she could have held back the water. She could have used her powers over the wind or over the water. There were so many things. I was like, Storm, you need to get your ass out too.
Not this bitch who literally can freeze water in a second. You know,
you control the elements. Storm, just move the water.
Yeah, how are you going to put this all on Jean Grey? You know,
no, and then Storm sat there looking like, ooh, this ain't none of my business.
She got back in the seat, put her seatbelt on, and was like,
this is like what I said about how they have to consistently depower all the X-Men for these movies to be plausible. Because I was like, no. And that's all I have to say on X2.
Yeah, I mean, it ends, and then it's like, the president is going to make a statement about mutants, and then Charles freezes everybody in the room, and then he's like, okay, just remember, like, mutants saved the day this time, and you have no reason to hate us. Fuck Stryker. And then that's the end of the movie.
And then by X3, they're like, we love mutants! We have a mutant member of the president's cabinet and his beast.
So X3 starts off, and it's my favorite scene in any X-Men movie ever, and it's like 20 years prior, they go pick up Jean, Magneto, and Xavier go pick up Jean, and because, you know, she's just a little girl, so they're like, this is the most powerful mutant we've ever seen, blah blah blah, and it's a 12-year-old girl. And then Jean's like, tries to read Xavier's mind. He's like, hey, don't do that. Like, I know what you're doing. And then she's,
you know,
like,
what he hit her with?
What? Nope, exactly like that. And then she's like, then they said something about, like, how powerful are you or something like that. I don't remember. But what happens is Jean just starts levitating every car on this street just because she can. And I was like, period, queen.
Oh, not just the car. She's levitating, like, everything that's outside, because I know Stan Lee's outside watering his lawn and the water goes up. And apparently Chris Claremont is in that scene too, but I didn't see him.
I didn't see him either. But that's straight from the comic books, I think. I remember reading it, and that happened in the comic books at one point, but I cannot seem to find this panel because I was trying to find it. And I was like, okay, this definitely happened in the comic books. Either way, it's one of my favorite scenes ever because that's that 12-year-old girl doing all that. She might not have even been 12 at that point. I don't know.
But I thought she was like 8, but I'm horrible like gauging the ages of children because I don't ever interact with them. So
same. But still, that's how it starts off. And they're like, damn, we need this child. And Charles is like, I need this child. I'm going to raise her right. He does not raise her right. Spoiler for the rest of this movie.
Yeah. First of all, the fact that she is out here being part of his private army, that's not raising right.
So what happens in this movie is like they recruit Jean. Obviously, Charles does, as we just said. And like some shit happens, whatever. That's the past. Who cares?
Oh, Jean also, did also.
Yeah, Jean died. You know, the water crushed her at the end of that movie. But just kidding, because she's talking to Scott and Scott goes back to Alkali Lake, which is now actually a lake instead of just a dam. And shit's fucked up. Jean comes out the water. He has a mental breakdown. He lasers the water because Scott's whole thing is eye lasers, optic blaster, what they're called. He shoots the water and then Jean just rises out the dead looking great. Her hair has grown like 3 feet. It's only been 6 weeks since she died. Where did this hair come from? Turns out it's the Phoenix Force, which we find out later, but the Phoenix Force just decided she needs some new hair. She added some extensions into this. It looked good.
The thing is, like, she had a great bob in the last movie, and then yeah. She was like, the Phoenix was like, no, we need length, we need layers, we need a bang.
And they did. And they did it.
They delivered on every single part.
The hair people could get Femke's hair correctly, but they were just fucking up Halle Berry's.
They would just do anything to this poor woman.
Until this movie, she had a good wig on this movie. They added some layers, some like choppy low lights that are black and gray now. It was like, okay. Finally.
Like, I was like, dang, Storm, man. did you go to Jean's hairstylist? Because yours
the Phoenix Force like stopped by and was like, here we go.
I got you.
As it should. But anyways, so Scott ends up dying. We don't see how, but he does.
You know, I actually found out, I googled why he died in the movie. It's because they said James, like, they were introducing a lot of characters, so they cut Cyclops and Nightcrawler, because Nightcrawler's in the last movie, he's not in this one, because obviously Logan was gonna surpass him as the Jean's romantic interest, and they said that they thought that people found it harder to emotionally connect with Scott as a love interest because you couldn't see his eyes, and that hurt me because I like James Marsden so much and I really like him as Scott Summers.
Listen, I have always been like Team Wolverine and Jean over Scott, but Scott actually belongs with her. It makes sense that they are together.
They're both just as raggedy. Like Wolverine, for Wolverine to be the least raggedy person in the struggle, that's embarrassing for y'all.
Yeah.
But Scott literally slept with and had a baby with her clone.
I think, didn't Wolverine and Jean have a baby too, though?
I don't know.
Jean has a lot of offspring for a dead bitch. I'm just saying.
But like,
that bitch dies every
you
five
had
minutes.
A baby with my clone. Jeez, something wrong with you.
You know what? Okay, actually, that's a side story. Never mind. But
you see how raggedy that is? Oh, and then so they didn't have Nightcrawler because they had Beast. And we're not really talking about the movie even now. We're just talking about sartorial choices. So Beast is like introduced as, you know, Dr. Hank McCoy. He's the Secretary of Mutant Affairs and he sits on the president's cabinet and everything is going well. But then like you see a flashback eventually because like you said, Marvel loves flashbacks, even though this is Fox at this point. You see young Warren Worthington, Angel, the most beautiful X-Man. He's like trying to cut his wings off as a young boy. And I was like devastated because Angel is gorgeous.
Angel's whole thing is like he has very large feathery wings. That's his mutation and it's beautiful. This man doesn't wear a shirt half the time just because he has these huge wings. It's amazing. Like that's his whole thing.
And so I was like, dang. So Mr. Warren Worthington II, who owns like Worthington Industries or whatever, because, you know, Angel is rich as fuck. He starts developing a cure for mutanity. And they got all these people like lined up there like to get this cure for mutanity. And I was like, damn. And then so Dr. McCoy goes to go visit Worthington Industries. I think they're based out of Alcatraz. And there's a boy in there who's like the basis of the cure who can they're mapping his genome, but they can't exactly replicate it. And
you know what? I've always had beef with this and I don't know why, but like my biggest beef was like that the kid was the cure. What kind of. That just seemed lazy writing. That shit was ghetto. I didn't like it.
Well, I mean, actually, I think having the power to cancel out other people's powers, that's the coolest power, unless you need some help, which he did later.
But then they just lock him. They don't really lock him in a room, but he's definitely locked in. You know what I mean? But they just lock him in a room in this little white suit. And he looks like a little cancer kid. Like, I'm sorry, but I hate this.
Yeah,
I
hated he's bald. It so much. It's obvious that he's being experimented on, but they're acting like this is ethical. I'm like, where are his parents? Where are any other children for him to play with? Like, he has a TV. He has a bed. Like, the room is white. Bear. And they try and make it like not look sad or scary, but that is sad and scary. And he spends most of the movie like looking out this window. I'm like, Hank, how could you leave a child there in these conditions? I was disappointed in Beast for this, because like the worst thing about these movies is that they leave kids like in the most horrible / fucked up situations, and then they come back later like, bitch, don't come back for me. You need to take me the first time.
See, one thing I don't like is when kids are hurt or in a bad spot. And they did this in a lot of the movie, but this one was the worst for me just because it was obviously very personal to this one kid.
And then like part sense. Of, so you see, as the movie progresses, like as they announce the cure, like some people are excited about the cure, like Rogue, obviously, who is like,
can't touch people without anybody. Hurting them.
And Rose is the best line ever. She's like, I can't even touch on my boyfriend. And Bobby's like, hey, you know, I'm not pressuring you. And she's like, Bobby, you're a boy. You only think about one thing. And I was like, girl, not with you, though.
You're scared.
Not with you.
And then she also says later on, whenever they first discover there's a cure, she's like, oh my God, there's a cure. And then Storm is like, we don't need a cure.
There's nothing wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with you. And it's like, Storm, look how beautiful you are.
First of all, that was the most black mom thing Storm said. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Crawler. Oh, and Mystique has been captured. Like, also, that's part of the plot, too. They, like, and she's antagonizing the people.
There's a lot in this plot. And we just kind of, like, didn't talk about any of it.
The plot's actually cool, though. Like, the worst thing about these movies is that they'll introduce a really cool plot, and then they'll, like, lose the plot. Metaphorically,
this movie had really like six plot points. Like, it had six different plots going on.
Like, if this movie had been 2 and 3, I think it would have been really good. But they didn't know if they were going to do the Gifted storyline. I think that's what it's called, the Joss Whedon one, with the mutant cure, or if they wanted to do the Dark Phoenix saga. They didn't know which one they were going to do, and I feel like they should have stuck with Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, that's always the right way.
Yeah. But like, okay. So with the cure, though, I started to become scared because I was like, wait, hold on. Who gets this? I know somebody ends up being cured. And the answer is goddamn Mystique, because they try, and Magneto goes to a rally. You know, all these mutants are talking about how to organize. They're like, we don't need a cure. Nothing's wrong with us. So he meets the Omegas, who are led by Callisto, and her name is Daniela Ramirez, I believe. And she's that girl who was nothing, because this woman is in everything. And they combined Callisto and Caliban. I looked it up because I was like, I don't think Callisto has these powers, but she's like, oh, I'm super fast. And she can find any mutant and like assess their powers. And Magneto's like, huh? Oh, so you can find any mutant. Can you just find me one? And the one is Mystique. They have this whole jailbreak, and they get to the point where they're breaking out like other mutants who are like locked up with Mystique, and they get freaking. Yeah.
So like Juggernaut and Multiple Man were in that thing.
And Multiple Man was McSteamy. I forgot he was in this movie.
Yes. What is his name? Eric Dame. Something. Eric Dame. Yeah.
And then friggin' Juggernaut is Vinnie Jones, who I love. I was like, damn. I didn't realize they were in these movies, but I didn't understand why Juggernaut was so small. But I guess they didn't. Did they lose the budget somewhere in this movie, maybe? I don't know.
I think it has a budget.
So they have this whole like jailbreak, right? Mystique just walked herself out, and then they have one guard who decides he's going to be a hero. So he takes his little anti-mutant gun that's loaded up with the cure, and he shoots, and he's aiming at Magneto's back, and Rogue takes the bullet for him. Not Rogue. Why did I say Rogue? Mystique takes the bullet for him, and she gets turned human. And Rebecca Romijn is so beautiful. But he literally, and she's sitting there bare coochie naked, like, and he's like, wow. He's like, well, it looks like you're no longer one of us. And then he just like leaves her there.
That shit was cold. Like, this woman has had your back.
Literally, your back.
Even earlier in this movie.
Shot in your back.
Literally, earlier in this movie, they were like trying to interrogate her, and they were like, where's Eric Glancher, Magneto?
And the thing that kind of pissed me off, because they really do push the mutant metaphor so much in, United and Last Stand. She's like, they're like Raven, and she's like, I don't answer to my slave name. Bitch, you are not Malcolm X.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Bitch, you are not Malcolm X.
I know. But so it moves on, and now they're looking for Jean, because Jean, they've all figured out Jean's alive at this point. So Xavier and like his little crew of X people, and with their little mutanities, and the Brotherhood and Magneto all go to Jean's old parent home. No, it was good. But then Jean's in there, a little bit crazy. She's got the Phoenix Force possessed in her, as she should. And first of all, Famke is acting the fuck out of this movie. She's not even moving, but like her facial expressions are giving it all. Like, she is doing the most. So, and then like Xavier's trying to talk to her and he's like, come back, Jean, we can help you. And she's like, I don't want to help. And then Magneto's like, don't try to control her, Charles. And then like a battle of wits happens and Xavier and Jean are trying to control each other's mind. Jean wins. Stuff starts levitating everywhere because it's the Phoenix now. You can't beat the Phoenix.
And then he did. Then he did. What shoes he got on his casket?
She poofed. He poofed. I mean, she just obliterated him. I was like, okay. Also earlier, because they found Jean at Alkali Lake, and then she starts trying to fuck Wolverine, and it's really hot.
Mentally? Like,
yes. Not even mentally. She whips the belt off and flies across the room. I was like, okay.
Because later, she starts after she kills the professor or whatever. First of all, Storm and Wolverine have this moment that is like so sexually charged. I was like, stop looking like y'all want to eat each other. It's a little weird. She was like, because you're in love with her. Da-da-da-da-da. She killed the professor. I was like, dang, this is intense. Oh, also in the middle of this movie, Halle Berry gives like the best eulogy for Professor X ever, period. She's like, Charles made us X-Men. You know, he gave us a home, a family, all this. And I was like, yes, exactly. It was giving what it was supposed to have gave. But at the end, so she's like, if you're going to stand with us, you stand with us. And I was like, yeah, Wolverine's bitch ass got on that motorcycle and left out the gate.
Yeah, so at this point, you know, Evil Jean, the Phoenix, is with the Brotherhood of Mutants and Magneto. And their whole plan is to go get this cure and like either kill it or stop the cure. I don't think they know.
They're going
to
kill this kid.
Yeah, and they've got Juggernaut. It's like a whole thing. Kitty Pryde has joined the team now, though, the X-Men team. I was like, okay, Elliot Page.
Yeah, but what's funny, though, is that Kitty was in the movies. It was a whole other girl. This was like, who was it? Lavender Brown and Harry Potter, where there were two black girls who were Lavender, and then all of a sudden, it was that white girl. That was what it was with Kitty Pryde. Because I was like, it was a whole other girl. I just saw you.
It was two other girls, like two different people played Kitty in the first two movies.
So it really was just like Lavender Brown. Elliot really said, sorry to these hoes, but I'm different. Took the spot. I know them girls, they heard they were making a third movie and that Kitty Pryde was finna have a larger role. And I know they was like, about to come back.
Mm-hmm. So Elliot Page is now Kitty Pryde, who doesn't really do much in the movie other than walk through walls, disappear, and fly.
A lot more unique than these other guys.
As Kitty Pryde should. Yes. So now Magneto, he levitates the entire, what is that bridge?
The Golden Gate Bridge. Magneto. Yes.
Badass power right there.
And again, Magneto is incredibly depowered in these movies because, like I said before, Magneto has literally stopped the turn of the earth. Okay, Magneto, when I tell you, I was mad that it looked like it was causing him effort to lift this bridge because he ate, and he was giving this
Okay. So the whole cure is on an island off of
California. It's on Alcatraz.
Yeah, it's on Alcatraz. Okay. So it's on Alcatraz. So he levitates the Golden Gate Bridge from California to Alcatraz. So all his little brotherhood can just walk to it. And I was like, okay, that's how you do it. If you're going to do it, there's no other way around it. Meanwhile, Jean is just sitting there all losing her mind a little bit. This bitch is evil at this point.
And she has literally not said anything. Like, and before this, she was literally calling Wolverine and then got mad when he appeared. I was like, girl, you told me to come here.
Yeah, so her eyes are black at this point. Like, so you can see something's wrong with her, but Magneto's just trying to pretend that it's okay. Like, it's not. Her
like, hair's sir, levitating.
Eric. It's a lot. But, you know, I don't even know. So anyways, they get to Alcatraz and they're trying to kill this kid. They bring an all-out war against the humans. Like, it's insane.
And Magneto literally sacrifices so many 1-3 class or whatever level mutants. And he's like, we let the pawns go first. And I was like, Magneto. Because Magneto doesn't think like this. He's willing to sacrifice people for the greater good, absolutely. But he's like, you mean to tell me Magneto would put so many mutants on the front line to have their powers disabled? That didn't even make sense to me. I was like, this is stupid. But also,
the funniest part though is the fact that they all are class 1-3. He's like, all right, you are the weakest link, you are the pawns. Like, that's fucked.
Really funny about it to me, honestly, was that they had plastic weapons and Magneto was like, humans in their guns, and he like put his hand out to grab them. He was like,
We should also say that Mystique broke him out of prison in the second one. So the fact he turned his back on her in this movie.
Literally turned his back.
It was cold. But it anyway, was. So they're on the island. War is happening. X-Men show up.
Magneto is like, oh, Juggernaut, go get that kid. So Juggernaut is like, okay, crashing through walls. Kitty Pryde, for some reason, decides to confront Juggernaut and like sinks him into the floor. And then he's like, you must not know who I am. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. I was like, what? I was so confused.
Honestly, though, that part is great because Juggernaut runs through walls, literally just tearing them down. Because his whole power is like, he can't, once he gets momentum, he can't be stopped unless he wants to stop. That's what his power is. Kitty Pryde's power is just to run through walls, disappear, and fly. Much more unique than the other guys.
And it was that Kitty knew what had to be done.
To do.
I don't know. I don't want to use pronouns because I know Kitty Pryde obviously is like a woman, but Elliot Page is very famously a man. So I don't know. But anyway, so Shadowcat is running through the walls and then finally gets to the wall with the kid. This was like a really like outmaneuvers Juggernaut at one point. So Juggernaut is just crashing through walls and then like it's like zip zop zoop. I'm here with the kid. So she tries to like go through the wall with the kid. The kid's like, it's not gonna work with me here. And I was like, damn. Because then Juggernaut is crashing through the walls and Kitty's like, okay, hold on. And then like jumps out the way. So Juggernaut will just boop, hit the wall. Boom.
Yeah, pushes the kid out the way the last second. So he hits the wall with his momentum and just fucking knocks himself out.
Because obviously with the kid there, not invulnerable.
Yeah, it took away his powers. Just like it did to this little Kitty Pryde.
So they literally have to like run all the way back out. I would be pissed. And so the X-Men are like, the X-Men are like really fully in the fight. They're like, okay, hold the line. You know, we're going to protect everybody, which I don't understand why. Like, once we've got like, the kid, we just need to get out.
Right. There was only like 5 X-Men against the entire Brotherhood, too. Granted, very powerful X-Men, but 5 of them against the entire Brotherhood.
Before that, like all the pawns, most of them have been depowered because everybody had a plastic gun and then cartridges with the cure in them. And so they all get to, everybody was kung fu fighting. It was fast as lightning. When the X-Men jump in, I was like, damn, imagine going home from this fight and telling your friends that you got jumped by the Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Also, though, Jean has literally done nothing at this point. The only thing she has done is destroyed all their guns. That's it.
Wait, no, Jean didn't even do that. Another mutant did.
I thought that was Jean. Oh, no, it was the one that claps. What was his name? Her name. Doesn't matter. Anyways, they destroyed all the guns, so that's how the X-Men are safe and not getting demutanized, demutanated.
The Omega people from the Brotherhood, they throw Mr. Worthington out of a window, and Warren steps up really just to grab his dad.
Oh, because Warren was going to be the first one that...
to get the cure or whatever, and they had him all strapped in. And he was like, wait, hold on, let's think about this. Maybe not. And then...
He said, you see these wings? You're not taking these wings off of me.
And, Angel is the most beautiful X-Man. Canonically, like Bobby Drake was the only person in that Marvel Voices Pride who had a first crush that I respected because his was Angel.
Yeah. And okay, so this is how the movie ends. And this is also one of the best scenes in any X-Men movie. Like anyone before and after this has not touched a toe to this one. It's when Jean just loses her mind. I don't know why she lost her mind.
Dr. McCoy hits Magneto with the cure.
He picks up a cartridge off the ground and then stabs him in the neck or the back or something like that. And that was stupid. You're not going to depower Magneto. He's just going to come back stronger.
First of all, sir, are you really proud that you jumped an old man?
The only old man trying to do something for the good of the world, albeit a little bit fucked up like his process, but it's still trying to do good. What's Charles trying to do? He left kids to die. Fuck Charles. Fuck Charles. Xavier, I hate him.
Jean, she ate that scene, and then she like gains control of herself for like one moment, and she's like, Logan, you have to kill me.
Okay, first of all, though, the Phoenix is just destroying things, like very
literally
Thanos
turning
snappy.
Him to dust. Thanos, yes. Wishes he could.
He couldn't. Thanos needed a gauntlet. This was Jean doing Jean things. Excuse me, don't try.
And then, I felt, that's why I was so disappointed with Infinity War or whatever, because I was like, I already seen this.
Yeah, this is the first time somebody's disintegrated into dust. And she's like levitating water up like hundreds of feet in the air. And she's just standing still. That's all she's doing. She's not trying, putting no effort into this. I was like, okay, bitch, you better. Or Famke, again, was acting the fuck out of the scene because she didn't move. She wasn't standing. She wasn't moving her hands. She was just
giving us otherworldly entities. She was giving us mad with power. She understood what had to be done for this world.
She had the time that day to do what she needed to do, and she did it.
And this wig was blowing in the wind. Like, she understood.
I think all she did was move her jaw a little bit. I think that was the most movement she put into this. I was like, okay. But
she gave us a little smolder. She was smizing. She was like,
Anyway, so she's ripping Wolverine's clothes off because Wolverine can heal as fast as she's destroying him because he's a little bitch like that. Whatever. So he ends up walking up to her and just stabs her in the chest, and that's it. Goodbye, Jean. Which doesn't make sense either, because she's just going to come back 10 minutes later. That's what Jean does if you've ever read any story ever. That bitch doesn't stay dead. Ever.
Obviously, they keep the school running. They manage to get everything. Like, Storm is the headmistress or whatever. Like, everybody loves mutants. Like, Hank McCoy becomes, like, the ambassador for the United States to, like, the world. I was like, okay, cool. Rogue took the cure. Bobby's mad, which I think Bobby need to mind his own business.
But yeah, so the school's still going. Storm's the headmaster. Everybody's living happily ever after, because that's the
except end. Magneto. Like, and then the very last scene of this movie, oh my god, it was pure gold, because Magneto is just sitting there, old man in a park, still dressed impeccably. I was like, how have they not captured his old ass, like, and just put him in jail? Because I would have had, like, after all of this, you would have had to go to jail. And he had this moment where he's looking at Jean destroy everything. He's like, oh my god, what have I done? And I was like, keep your head up, King, because you should not have to deal with the consequences of your actions, period. And then Magneto's playing chess in the park, and then there are metal pieces, and he puts his hand out just the tiniest bit to reach for one, and it jerks. And I was like, so y'all did all this and you can't keep a bad bitch down?
And won't,
because it's Magneto. I don't care what cure you have. I don't care. Magneto's gonna keep them powers, period.
There's only a handful of Omega level mutants in Storm. Magneto and Jean are three of them. So what did y'all think y'all were gonna do to these guys? Nothing.
I don't care who else is X-Jean you thought you could suppress. It won't be one Mr. Eric Lyncher. It won't.
He's not a class three mutant. He's not a pawn. Exactly.
Like, I just feel like some of the rhetoric of this movie was really, these movies don't align. They don't align well with Magneto. I'm like, this is not really how he thinks. This isn't how he operates. The plots were so cartoonish that it was annoying and uncomfortable. Like, as a whole, I feel like they don't do a lot there's this part in X-Men The Last Stand where Pyro is talking about how Professor X is dead. And he was like, hey, they were like, can we trust Jean? Like, she was with them. And then he was like, and so were you, Magneto was. And then he's like, but I've been down with you the whole time. Like, I would have killed the professor myself if you told me to. And Magneto puts his hand across his chest, like, dunk, and is like, hey, like, Charles did more for mutants than you will ever understand. Like, I only hate that he had to die so that we could all live. Like, Professor X is a highly questionable person who I am not certain I will put in charge of a large group of young people. But his idea, the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, it gives young and vulnerable mutants a home and a place to belong.
I think that is so
admirable, except for the fact that the place is not that safe because the school keeps getting destroyed to the point where they're like, school getting destroyed builds character.
It's very like... Never mind. But you know, that school gets destroyed so many times in the comic books. They have to move. They even move to Limbo at one point with demons attacking the school because it's safer. Like, but his idea was correct. He just is kind of not a great person. He's a very questionable person.
Exactly. Like Dumbledore.
Also a school that got destroyed constantly because they don't know how to act.
Ran by a highly questionable person.
Yeah. See, I mean, I don't know. So the movies overall, though, they're very enjoyable movies. They don't make a lot of sense. They're
enjoyable the more you don't care about what happens. Because
I honestly just
came to watch people be fine. Yeah, there's no continuity. Well, there is, but the continuity is bad. The one thing that's consistent about the movies is that at the end, Mystique gonna turn into somebody. And at the end of number three, she turned on Magneto because she was like, hey, this is what he's planning. Period. This is what's going on. I was like, yeah. Okay, yes, Queen, as you should, flip and flop.
I would too. If I was Mystique, honestly,
I would just go around living my business. Nobody knows what the hell I look like.
I would have shot his ass myself. And the fact that she is the same age as all of them, but when she turns into a human, she's still like a ripe 25, you know?
Exactly. Like, okay. Rebecca Romijn, she ate this. No, but at the end of the first movie, she like turns into Senator Kelly. I don't think we mentioned this. And she was like, yep, I regret my actions. You know, I think all mutants should be able to live in peace. And at the end of the second movie, she turns into somebody too and is like, yep, mutants, love them.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work out because they're still leading up to building Sentinels by the end of this movie, which is a whole thing. Sentinels are mutant destroyers. In case y'all don't know, they literally just destroy mutants. That's their whole thing. So they're still leading up to building those by the end of this series. So I don't know why they stopped it here. I mean, they should have because it needed to be.
Yeah, the evil had to be defeated. But I feel like if they cut out whatever the hell the plot was in X2, because neither one of us seems to really know, they could have made X3 into two separate distinct movies. And I feel like they would have had a lot more emotional weight because the premise of this of X3 is the best. Like X1 and X3 are better movies, like overall, as a whole than X2. Mm-hmm. But like X1, the plot is cartoonish and it's stupid, and I just can't accept that. And then in 3, I feel like it just falls flat. And I feel like they should have switched the names, like with The Last Stand and United, and they could have built a bridge. If they had did 2 right, they could have went from like this being The Last Stand, like the Brotherhood versus the X-Men, and they could have made a 3 where they all stand united together against the Cure or whatever. That would have been a better movie because
that
like
would have
what
been
they're
the
doing-
time to sorry that would have mm-hmm. been the time to introduce the Sentinels if they were going to do something like that where they wanted to stand together. They didn't need to make a Cure. The Cure storyline is stupid. I'm sorry, it is, but this is kind of what happens when you let Bryan Singer direct X-Men movies because he keeps fucking this shit up.
Actually, the third one was directed by Brett Ratner.
1 through 2 were, and then like 6 more after this one were. It's like, you need to stop letting this man touch superhero movies, period.
It's funny that Brett Ratner actually, like, I was like, oh, it was directed by another person. And then when I read Brett Ratner, I laughed so hard. I literally could not wait to tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. So overall, these movies, I think they're very great movies.
They have a lot of promise. And if more work had been done, like if they had put more thought into it, than they did. I think these could have been good movies. The point where the X-Men fall flat as a whole is because of the mutant metaphor. I don't think there's anything wrong with people who are not from marginalized groups writing marginalized characters, but I think when you write about marginalization that you don't experience, it's always going to fall flat. And you're just remaking discrimination with white faces. Like an author, I can't think of who, said that like people of color, we're like the secret sauce in science fiction and fantasy. People want to write about the oppression that we face today and like that our ancestors faced, but they don't want us to be the face of it because it makes it so good and entertaining. And so we've created this world where people can empathize with, I don't know, Cyclops and Jean Grey or whatever, who are being discriminated against for being mutants, but they fail to grasp the larger picture of that insinuation. And at this point, I don't think it's necessary. I want them to continue making X-Men comic books, but I don't think, especially with the MCU, because all they do is like a surface level explanation of everything, and then they make everybody white anyway in comic book movies. So what's the purpose? Just leave the X-Men out of this. Thank you. I don't think y'all have the emotional weight. Like, y'all, Fox already showed that they were not willing to give enough like time and emotional weight. And honestly, what we really need is a budget. And what I would really like to see in live action, if y'all are going to show, I can't watch Magneto be villainized anymore. I can't be told that somebody who is saying the right thing, who believes who believes things that are not necessarily wrong, they're debatable, but they're not necessarily wrong. You can't tell me that this person is a villain. Like, the more and more post Reagan we get, you just can't convince me. I was like, I'm not watching this anymore.
Once again, Magneto was literally in the Holocaust. He was a part of the worst.
That's
thing
like
that's
the
ever
first
happening.
Scene of X1. Well, yes, one of the first scenes.
So the fact that he's going to sit there and tell you that he sees history repeating because he's lived through it, and y'all are sitting there telling him that he's wrong, that's kind of a problem with me. You know what I mean? His morals are not
questionable.
Wrong. They're a little bit ambiguous.
Ambiguous. They're just questionable. He has questionable morals. Yes. He has questionable methodology. Yes. Is he ever really wrong? The fact that Quentin Quire was wearing that Magneto was right shirt and you hate Quentin Quire and you were like, ah. Fuck.
The fact that we did a trivia with Magneto was right as our name.
Oh, the fact that it's the fact that we had those two goddamn duds on our Magneto was right team and we came in eighth. I was pissed. I've never been more mad in my life. Okay. So, as a whole, we like the movies. They're highly questionable, though. That's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Thank you for listening and the support. We'd like to give a very special thank you to Eddie for his support and his recommendation, because we really do enjoy these movies, even though we did just talk shit about these movies for like an hour straight. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Eddie. Thank you so much. We apologize. We'll see you guys next Wednesday, October the 6th, with our discussion on DC Inc.'s Teen Titans Beast Boy and Teen Titans Beast Boy Loves Raven. Last time we felt like it was really difficult to make a whole episode about Raven, so we decided to save both books for, you know, once. And we are available on all major streaming platforms except for Pandora, who absolutely would donate money to Senator Kelly's campaign. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing it with your friends. It really helps us a lot and we really enjoy making it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, and we really do take suggestions, as you can tell, you can find and DM us on Instagram at True Believers Pod and on Twitter at True Believers P, or you can even email us at @1truebelieverspod@gmail.com. We also have a TikTok @TrueBelieversPod. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.